Why does that line not work on you? Della Lee just smiled. For 3 years now, Adam had been going to Jake's parents' house for Thanksgiving, which they always celebrated on Wednesday night instead of the traditional Thursday. This was the first year, however, that he'd gone as Jake's date.
"I still think you should have bought me a corsage," Adam joked, as they walked up the steps to the door.
Jake shook his head.
"I can't take you anywhere. This just feels strange without Chloe." "Everything feels strange without Chloe."
They stopped on the porch and brushed snow off their coats, then stomped off what little was on their shoes. It was still snowing, yet there was no snow on the driveway or the walkways leading to the Yardley's large home. Adam had always thought this place was inhabited by magically perfect people. Snow didn't fall on their concrete, weeds never grew in their yard, the house never needed painting, and there was always shade when you needed it in the summer, though there were no trees around. Adam thought it was a fascinating place to visit, cool and otherworldly, but then again, he wasn't related to anyone inside. Jake hated everything about it.
"I'm dreading this," Jake said, going to the door and pushing the doorbell.
A maid opened the door, and they were shown inside. Faith Yardley had outdone herself with the decorations, and apparently at the last minute. There were crystals that looked like snowflakes hanging on strings falling from the ceiling. The cornucopias and the leaf arrangements on the mantels and tabletops had been lightly sprayed with artificial snow. Rims of glasses were dipped in sugar, and Jake told him the punch this year was called snow soup.
"How did your mother manage to do all of this in such a short period of time?" Adam asked as the maid took their coats. "A lot of caffeine and paying the help triple overtime. When I talked to her this morning, she was so excited. She's been doing this for 20 years, and this is the first time there's been snow for her Thanksgiving party."
They walked into the grand living room with the large fireplace. Despite the snow, the Yardley's dinner party still had a good turnout. There were about 30 people there this year, a large enough number to get lost in, which Adam could do with a little more ease than Jake, the host's son, whom everyone wanted to say hello to. Faith was the first to greet them. She was beautiful in a red off-the-shoulder dress.
"My baby," she said, hugging Jake. "I'm so sorry Chloe couldn't be here."
"I am too, Mom."
He gave her the box of candy he brought her every Thanksgiving. She took the box like it was the best gift she'd ever received.
"And Adam, I'm glad to see you again."
Adam handed her the bouquet of flowers he always brought for the hostess, and she gave him a hug. She smelled like sugar cookies.
"I watched you walk in, and I do believe your limp is worse this evening. Normally, I can't tell you have a bad leg at all."
"It's the snow and the cold, Faith. It just stiffens up a little."
"Then stand by the fire. I'll have a waiter bring you a drink, if you'll excuse me."
She started to turn, but then stopped and smiled at Jake. She actually pinched his cheek.
"You're my beautiful boy. I love you so much."
"I like your mom," Adam said as they watched her walk away. "She's a saint." "Jake," his father called. "And that's the reason why," Jake murmured.
Kyle Yardley approached them, smiling and saying hello to guests he passed along the way, kissing women on the cheek, clapping men on the back. He and Jake looked so much alike it sometimes caused people to look twice when they were together.
"Jake, I just got a very interesting call from Howard Zim," Kyle said when he stopped in front of them. He held out his hand to Adam. "Good to see you, Adam."
Adam shook his hand.
"Kyle?" "Who is Howard Zim?" Jake asked. "He's a realtor. I play racquetball with him. I told him about your troubles with Chloe."
Jake was instantly riled.
"Why in the hell did you... Just listen to me. He knows about your troubles with Chloe, which is why he thought I might like to know that the Cramdens on Summertime Road called him not an hour ago to say that they were ready to lower their price on the house, and they wanted to give first dibs to someone, a charming young woman named Chloe Finley." The shock of this obviously had Jake reeling. He couldn't seem to say anything.
"This is your fault for telling her in the first place. You should have listened to me. But now you have to focus on stopping her from making this terrible mistake. You should consider buying the house out from under her."
Jake's face was tight, growing red. Before he totally lost it, Jake turned and left the room. Adam caught up with him in the foyer, getting his coat from the maid.
"Jake, you're not really going to buy it, are you? Anyone who knows Chloe knows she's always loved that house."
Jake jerked his coat on and walked out. Adam nodded to the maid, and she handed him his coat, too. When Adam got outside, Jake was on the porch, staring into the snow-covered yard.
"He told me to give her space, to let her realize how much she needs me. What a load of crap! He doesn't know Chloe. I know Chloe. She quit college to care for her great-grandparents. She had to sell the house that had been in her family for generations, and she got a damn good price for it, all on her own. She was just 20. She moved into the storeroom of her shop and didn't complain because her great-grandparents were being taken care of, and that's what mattered most to her. She's as strong as hell, Adam. But she was devastated when her great-grandparents died. They left her alone. I knew she hated to be left alone. And I left her alone." Jake slapped one of the porch pillars. "I've lost her, haven't I?"
"No, you haven't. Don't go there." Jake grew silent. After a while, he said, stunned,
"I can't believe she's buying a house."
Adam thought of what Josie had told him earlier that day. It wasn't something he would normally ask Jake. He thought if Jake didn't want to tell him, that was fine. But for Josie, he asked, "Who was she, Jake? Who was the woman you slept with?" Jake shook his head.
"No one."
"Chloe wants to know. Why not tell her? It might help," he said, carefully avoiding the Julian issue.
"I can't."
"Why not?"
"Because I can't."
"Don't you think Chloe is more important than keeping this a secret? What's the point?" Adam said, stuffing his hands in his coat pockets.
"For the love of God, Adam! You know Chloe is the most important thing in my life, but it's not my life I'm worried about."
"I'm not following."
"I've messed everything up."
Jake suddenly barged down the front steps.
"I'm a fucking idiot," he said,
furiously kicking snow onto the walkway. It was as if he couldn't take it anymore, as if he didn't want anyone believing that the Yardleys were so perfect that snow never fell on their concrete. When the snow melted quickly, he made snowballs and threw them at the house. One hit the pillar Adam was standing beside, and he got pelted with icy pellets.
"Hey," Adam said.
"Sorry." Adam walked down the steps. "I may have a bad leg, but I still have great aim," he said, packing a firm snowball and hurling it at Jake. 10 minutes of this, and their suits, coats, and wingtips were soaked. This is why Faith sent Jake and Adam home with their dinner in paper bags, but with no dessert, for they had been very bad boys. When they got to Adam's house, they ate in front of the television, which they both agreed was a much better way to spend the evening. But they both admitted they missed the pumpkin pie. Jake went to bed early after trying to call Chloe several times and not getting an answer. Adam stayed up. He could still hear the snow ticking like small bird pecks against the large front window, but it was slacking off. He'd wanted to stay out in it longer that evening, but between his aching leg and Jake's mother, he couldn't. He turned off the lights and opened the blinds in the living room. One of his neighbors across the street already had his Christmas lights up. Off in the distance, he could see Bald Slope Mountain. He could even make out faintly the edge of the lights from the slopes on the other side. He wondered if Josie skied at all. She loved the snow, yet she had never made a snowman. He'd been thinking about her all day. It was easy to resent people who forced you to see things in a different way, and that's exactly what Josie was doing by telling Chloe that she loved him,
by stepping outside of the confines of what people expected of her. He supposed he did resent it at first, because her changing meant everyone around her had to change. It meant he had to change, even if it was just his way of thinking. But when he finally gave into it that evening, staring out at Bald Slope Mountain, he found it was surprisingly easy. He wanted things to stay the same between them, but he knew now they couldn't, and he was almost excited about it. He grabbed his coat and went to the door. Josie suddenly opened her eyes. It was unusually quiet. So quiet, in fact, that the sound of something hitting the side of the house had drawn her out of her sleep. She waited to hear it again, but there was nothing.
"Della Lee?" she whispered.
"Yes?" Della Lee called from the closet.
"Did you hear that?"
"It sounded like it came from your window." Josie sat up. Her stomach felt jumpy, but she wasn't hungry. And something else wasn't right. It was too dark.
"Is the power out?"
"It went out about an hour ago. I was downstairs when it happened. Helena was chasing me from room to room in the dark. She finally had me trapped in the kitchen, but when she tried to turn on the lights, they wouldn't come on. Saved my ass. You should have heard her curse."
"I asked you not to tease her."
"It gives her something to do. She's lonely." She was startled again by the sound, like a wet slap against the side of the house.
"What is that?"
Josie threw the covers off and went to her window. Had a tree fallen? The wind wasn't blowing. She opened her window and stuck her head out. It had stopped snowing. The world outside looked like it was coated in a thick layer of white cake frosting, like it would stick to the roof of your mouth.
"Josie!"
someone called in the quiet night. She looked down to see a figure standing in the yard. His head was tilted back as he looked up at her. He was grinning, his entire face illuminated by the moonlight.
"Adam? Your mailman?"
Della Lee asked from the closet, sounding equally surprised.
"Come down,"
he called, like in a fairy tale.
"Let's make a snowman."
The air was cold on her face. The floor was hard beneath her feet. She could smell the peppermint on the windowsill. Inside her own skin, her heart was drumming against her chest, and she could feel the blood surging through her veins. She had all this as proof that she was indeed awake, that all this was real, but she still couldn't believe it.
"Josie?"
Adam said again.
"What are you doing here?"
"I told you. Let's make a snowman."
"Are you insane?"
He knelt and scooped up a handful of snow, then he packed it between his hands.
"Come down, or I'll throw a snowball at you."
"You wouldn't dare." His grin turned cunning.
"Are you sure about that?"
He tossed the snowball from hand to hand.
"Which one is your mother's window?"
"You wouldn't." He lifted his snowball threateningly.
"Okay, all right. I'll be right down. Just don't throw anything."
Josie quickly ducked back inside and closed the window. She just stood there for a moment.
"Well, this is interesting," Della Lee said. "What does he want?"
"To make a snowman."
"To make a snowman at—"
She automatically looked at her digital clock, then remembered the power was out.
"I don't even know what time it is."
Josie was wearing pajamas, so she fumbled around in the darkness until she found her snow boots and a sweater. Then she put on her long black coat and grabbed a wool cap and gloves on her way out.
"Have fun. Use condoms," Della Lee called after her.
As soon as Josie reached the downstairs landing, Helena stepped out of her room. She was holding an industrial-sized flashlight, which she'd bought along with mace and a personal emergency alarm, after Wade Beasley had been arrested for murdering his housekeeper earlier in the year. Spells and superstitions were all well and good, but even Helena saw that a good defense sometimes involved a 10-pound flashlight, too.
"It's just me," Josie said, shielding her eyes from the light. "I'm going outside for a minute."
Helena lowered the flashlight.
The mail here.
I know.
Old C like mail.
Yes, Josie said.
I do.
Helena smiled and shut her bedroom door. Josie went to the front door, then stepped outside onto the porch. Adam was waiting there for her.
Waiting for her. This made no sense.
She closed the door behind her and crossed her arms over her chest.
Are you drunk?
No.
She looked out to the street. There were no tire tracks in the snow. It was like he'd dropped from the moon.
How did you get here?
I drove. I have four-wheel, but I had to park at the bottom of the hill and walk the rest of the way.
And you couldn't make a snowman in your neighborhood
because you weren't there.
Words left her.
You told me today you've never made a snowman. I want to teach you.
Oh.
He was feeling sorry for her again. Well, I'm sorry you had to come all this way, but we can't do this here, she said, taking a step back to the door.
Why not?
Because it's against neighborhood rules.
Who's going to know it was us?
He turned.
Come on.
What about your leg? She asked. He was struggling a little with it as he walked down the steps.
To hell with my leg.
He got to the bottom step and looked up at her. He was wearing a yellow thinsulate jacket, black gloves, and a black beret, the kind with a toggle in the back. She'd loved this man for 3 years, but she knew so little about him. She'd been too afraid to ask him about his injury, to ask him anything personal, because then he might suspect how she felt. But now that he knew how she felt about him, what was the harm in asking?
How did you hurt it?
He nodded to the yard.
Come make a snowman with me and I'll tell you.
I don't want to know that badly.
Yes, you do.
He held his hand out to her.
So what if this made her pitiful? So what if her desire to be with him overruled her pride?
This was Adam holding his hand out to her. Of course she was going to take it. Just for tonight. Because when would it ever happen again? Snowman 101 included instructions on first finding the perfect place to build, preferably as close to the street as possible so everyone could see your creation. Then there was the art of packing a firm snowball, putting it in the snow, and then rolling it around the yard in a wide circle, letting it pick up snow and grow. This, he said, you did 3 times. The bottom was the biggest ball, the middle was medium, and the top was the smallest. Adam made it look easy. She kept trying, but her snowballs all fell apart when she tried to roll them.
You're pressing too hard, Adam said.
I am not. I just want a small snowman.
When he laughed at her, she picked up her pitiful snowman ball and threw it at him. He straightened slowly. The young apprentice has provoked the master.
Josie started to run to take cover behind the stringy forsythia bushes, but his snowball hit her in the back. She made an indignant sound and stopped. This was war.
He had better aim than her, but that didn't matter once she got close enough to pelt him. She hit her target several times, once even in the face, she was proud to say. Unfortunately, she was close enough now for him to grab her by the arm, then drop a handful of snow down the front of her sweater. She shrieked, slipped, then suddenly fell back into the snow, taking him with her. He was halfway on top of her, his hands in the snow on either side of her shoulders. She clutched one hand to her wet sweater and put the other hand over her mouth to muffle her laughter. It was a wonder they hadn't woken up the whole neighborhood by now. She threw her head back and laughed so hard her eyes filled with tears and she had to squeeze them shut. Tears popped out and fell down her temples, warm against her cold skin.
God, when had she had a better time? Letting go felt so good.
When she was finally able to catch her breath, she opened her eyes and saw that Adam was staring down at her with the most serious look on his face. She moved her hand away from her mouth, her laughter dying. His eyes went to her lips and lingered there a moment. Then he suddenly rolled off of her and got to his feet.
I hurt my leg skiing on Bald Slope Mountain, he said, extending a hand to her. She sat up, dazed. What just happened here? She looked up at him, then took his hand. He pulled her to her feet. It must have been a bad fall. It was. No more skiing for me. No more skiing, no more sailing, no more cliff diving, no more mountain climbing, no more travel. It all sounded so wonderful, so exotic. You used to do all those things? Yes. He turned and walked to his snowman in progress. She quickly followed. Why don't you anymore? Are you not able? I don't know. I haven't tried. He shrugged. It was time to settle down. Did you like traveling? I loved it. Here, help me lift this middle ball onto the bottom one. She walked over to him, and together they lifted the big snowball. So you haven't left Bald Slope at all since your accident? Maybe sometime in the future I'll go see my brother in Chicago, see some old friends there. I'm not ready yet. He started making the last ball. I didn't know you lived in Chicago. He smiled as he rolled the ball around, making it bigger. We think we know each other, but we really don't, do we? I was a lawyer in Chicago before the accident. Her brows rose. Adam was a lawyer? This was like candy. Did the accident make you give up the law? No, I gave it up because I hated it. When he got the head of the snowman the right size, he picked it up and walked back to the body. His limp was getting worse the longer he was out there. Why didn't you give it up before the accident? I don't know, he said, setting the head on top with a plop. I guess almost dying makes you reevaluate things. She couldn't speak for a moment. You almost died? She finally said softly. It was the first time I was ever hurt. Broken femur, broken back, internal injuries, lost my spleen. He said it mechanically, hiding the emotion. She watched as he went to the forsythia bushes and snapped off two bare branches. She looked at him carefully in the moonlight, and it was like a door had finally opened and she could see inside. You're afraid to leave, aren't you? She said. It happened, and you're afraid it's going to happen again if you do anything. He'd stopped moving for a moment, not looking at her. That's your secret. I'm staying still. There's nothing wrong with that, he finally said. He stuck the forsythia branches into the sides of the middle ball, then stepped back and reviewed his work. Josie felt strange, like there was a shifting in the universe somewhere. She suddenly felt like there wasn't more going out of her than there was coming in anymore. She followed the light shining on him through the snow-laden trees, across the sky and to the moon. She stared at it as if seeing it for the first time, the wonder, the mystery, the cool white brightness of it. It took her breath away. Chloe rolled over onto her side, on the bed in the Cramdens' guest room, and looked through the window at the same moon at the same time, and felt exactly the same shift. She stuck her arm under the pillow to snuggle it to her, but then she paused. There was something under there. She sat up and brought out a book, The Complete Homeowner's Guide. She put her head back on the pillow, staring at the book. Finally, a book that didn't have anything to do with her love life. It felt like a reward. She brought it to her, wrapping her arms around it, and looked back out into the cold, silent night. Then she closed her eyes and went to sleep. Chapter 11 Candy Hearts. Margaret barreled into Josie's bedroom Thanksgiving morning. "There's a snowman in our front yard," she said, as if locusts weren't far behind. Josie sat up in bed, sleep-tousled and stiff from the snow. She looked over to her closet to make sure the door was closed. Margaret walked to Josie's window. "Look!" Josie got out of bed and joined her mother at the window. The neighborhood was pristine, the snow evenly coating everything except their front yard. It was a mess.
the snow pockmarked by footprints and in great uneven mounds. Then there was the gelatinous snowman, which looked like it had been sprayed from a can of Ready Whip, with Adam's blue scarf wrapped around its neck. Josie pinched her lips together to keep from smiling. He must have done that after she'd gone back inside. "Do you know anything about this?" Margaret asked suspiciously. "I've never made a snowman before. That one looks like it was made by someone who knew what he was doing." "Who would do such a thing to us?" "Call our lawn man," Margaret said as she walked away. "Tell him to come over and smooth our snow." Josie had no idea what to say to that. Smooth our snow? Margaret stopped in the doorway suddenly when a chirping sound came from somewhere inside the room. Josie felt a jab of dread and slid her eyes to her purse. "What is that?" Margaret asked, looking around, probably expecting locusts. "What is that sound?" Josie went to her purse. "It's, the cell phone ringing." "You gave out the number? To whom?"
"Her name is Chloe Finley, and she's my friend," Josie said, bringing out the phone. She knew Margaret would have found out sooner or later. She was just hoping for later. At least until yesterday's left at the salon incident had blown over. Margaret's face grew tight.
"Finley? That's who you've been seeing? Who told you about her?"
"What are you talking about? Told me what?"
"Nothing."
Margaret turned with her cane and left quickly. Josie answered the phone, watching her mother leave.
"Hello?"
"Happy Thanksgiving," Chloe said, sounding better than she had in all the time Josie had known her.
"Josie, you're never going to believe this. I'm going to buy a house. I'm going to buy the house on Summertime Road."
Josie rubbed her eyes with one hand.
"What? Really? How?"
"I met the owners yesterday. Actually, I had to spend the night here because of the snow. Long story. Anyway, they had just decided to lower the price on the house, and they agreed to sell it to me."
Josie dropped her hand and laughed.
"Oh, Chloe, that's fabulous. I have so much to do. My mind is spinning."
"If you need any help, I'm here for you."
"Thank you. But I can do this on my own. I have great credit, and I've been putting money into savings for a long time, and now I won't have to pay for that storage rental anymore."
"Good for you, Chloe. Good for you. I'll talk to you soon."
"Congratulations," Josie said, as Chloe hung up.
"What was that all about?" Della Lee called. Josie went to the closet and opened the door.
"Chloe is buying a house."
Della Lee was wearing the sweater and snow boots Josie had worn outside last night.
"It's nice that you offered to help her."
"I like her," Josie said, taking a dress off its hanger.
"And take off my clothes."
"You two stick together, okay?"
"Why? What do you mean?"
Della Lee shrugged.
"Nothing."
Josie sighed and turned away, again with the nothing. 2 days later, on Saturday, Chloe called again and wanted to give Josie a tour of the house on Summertime Road. Josie agreed to meet her there that afternoon, glad to get out of the house. Margaret was emitting a low, constant level of vexation, making the air around her hum and crackle. And Josie had avoided Adam both Friday and Saturday when he'd been by with the mail, which seemed to make the days even longer. At one point on Friday, she'd been in her room, reading on her bed, when she felt him getting closer. She got up and went to her window. Margaret had gotten so worked up over the snowman that she had insisted their yard man leave his Thanksgiving dinner and come over Thursday to knock it down. Adam stopped in front of the house and smiled and shook his head when he saw that it was gone. Then he headed up the walk to the house. Instead of going to see him, she went back to her bed.
"What's wrong?" Della Lee asked from the closet.
Josie stuffed another pillow behind her head and picked up the book, one of the romances Chloe had loaned her.
"Nothing."
"Why did you go to your window?"
"No reason."
"Your mailman is here, isn't he?"
"Why aren't you going to see him? I thought you two had a good time in the snow the other night. Is there something you're not telling me? Did he do something to you? I'll kick his ass."
Josie saw a shoe come flying out of her closet. She got up and retrieved the shoe Della Lee had thrown, amused that Della Lee would get so mad on her behalf. She brought the shoe back to the closet.
He didn't do anything to me.
Then why aren't you going to see him?
Josie set the shoe down.
I don't feel like finding out which Adam is out there today, the one who likes things the way they are, or the one who came to my window to make a snowman.
Della Lee suddenly smiled. She had a pretty smile with her slightly crooked front teeth.
You're tipping the balance of power. You're making him curious, curious enough to come to you. Good call.
Josie rolled her eyes and went back to her bed.
That's not what I'm doing.
Maybe not on purpose, but it's something I would do. I think I'm wearing off on you. I think I'm in your head.
Needless to say, Josie was more than ready Saturday to get away for a little while. Snowplows had cleared the roads, and there was a lot of traffic as Josie headed out to see Chloe's new house. Vacationers from the ski resort and holiday shoppers from all around had descended on downtown businesses. The Christmas season was officially underway, transforming Bald Slope into a snowy picture postcard paradise. It was Marco Cerini's dream come true every winter. The Cramdons were happy to let Chloe show Josie around. They were very fond of Chloe, and judging by the amount of books they owned, it was clear Chloe had found her lost tribe. Chloe loved everything about each room. She told Josie about what pieces of her great-grandparents' furniture would go where, sometimes stopping herself when she mentioned something she remembered belonged to Jake. Josie understood that it was Jake Chloe wanted to be showing this to, not her. She hoped Adam had gotten some information from Jake about the other woman. He hadn't said anything about it the other night in the snow. She would have to talk to him soon about it. The last stop was the kitchen, where George and Zelda were having coffee. Zelda poured cups for Josie and Chloe.
"I can tell why you're friends," Zelda said.
She had sharp, intelligent eyes, like she knew more than she would say.
"The two of you even look alike."
Josie and Chloe looked at each other, surprised. Josie was so used to her mother being offended when compared to Josie that she was startled when Chloe laughed and said,
"Oh, my gosh, it's true. We even have the same color eyes and all this wild curly hair."
Something suddenly occurred to Josie. No, it couldn't be.
"Damn it, Della Lee," Josie thought.
Chloe was chatting with the Cramdons, and they said something about the backyard.
"Oh, the backyard," Chloe said. "Josie, I want to show you the backyard."
Cups of coffee in hand, they went outside to the screened-in porch. The snow-covered backyard was large, large enough for a swimming pool, Chloe said, if she wanted one. But the Cramdons had gardened for years and the soil was good, so she might try her hand at that first.
"Did you know your father?" Josie suddenly blurted out.
Chloe raised her eyebrows at the sudden change of subject.
"No, actually. I have no idea who he is. His name isn't even on my birth certificate. My mom got pregnant with me when she was 18. 3 days after I was born, she left town. I was raised by my great-grandparents."
"Have you ever tried to find out who he is?"
"No," Chloe said. "When I was young, I lived on fantasies of who he was. My favorite was that he was European royalty. I had a rock star fantasy for a while, too. He was from another planet in one daydream. But I realized long ago that if I really knew who he was, I'd only be disappointed. In my mind, he's sorry he never got to know me. Not knowing me is one of his biggest regrets. Secretly, over the years, he's been watching out for me. And when my mom ran away, she ran to him. They're happy together. I don't want to know any differently."
Chloe suddenly smiled, realizing she'd gone dreamy.
"Why do you ask?"
"I was just thinking of my dad."
"He was a great man."
Josie nodded absently.
"Girls," George said, sticking his head out the back door, "who's up for leftover pie?"
"You wanted me to ask Mr. Lamar about the other woman my father paid off. You think it's Chloe's mother, don't you?"
Josie demanded when she finally got home late that afternoon and went straight upstairs to Della Lee in the closet. She was slightly out of breath, not from the dash to her room,
but from the panic of how fast Della Lee's influence was growing in her life.
"You think Chloe is another one of his daughters. The first day you were here, you mentioned her by name. You kept sending me to her for sandwiches you never ate."
"Well, that took you long enough. What are you, blind?" Della Lee said, looking up from her collage. Today, her blonde hair was tied back into a ponytail with a pair of tights Josie had taken from her house. "But Chloe doesn't know. Her mother took off with the money Marco gave her. It's all in my mother's notebooks. She documented their entire affair."
Della Lee had grown up with this. She'd been told this all her life, so of course she believed it. But the depth and detail, her complete confidence in something so wholly improbable, was getting under Josie's skin. She was getting in her head, just like Della Lee said.
"Della Lee, don't take this the wrong way, but I think you might need professional help. I can help you. I can pay. Think about this. You're wearing a pair of pantyhose in your hair. Is that normal?"
Della Lee snorted.
"Oh, don't give me that. You're starting to doubt yourself. You see how all three of us have his eyes. You see how Chloe's hair is as crazy curly as yours. You're starting to believe me, aren't you?"
"No, I'm not," Josie said firmly.
"You're saying you haven't even considered the possibility that your father might have had other children?"
"My father was a great man."
"That's what everyone says. I wonder how many people who actually knew him believe that."
"I believe it."
"Do you? Do you really? Do you really believe that the man you knew was all there was to him? You don't think there was something else?"
That reminded her of Adam. Not that she thought Adam and her father were anything alike, but what she'd found out about Adam, what she never even suspected. Could her father have had secrets, too? Josie hesitated before saying, "You think my mother paid off your mother, that my mother knew about you. Do you think she knew about Chloe, too? I mean in your fantasy, not that I'm saying it's real."
"I'm sure Margaret knew about all of Marco's affairs."
Could that be why her mother had such a reaction to Chloe's name?
No, she thought as she walked away. She wasn't going to go there. Mr. Lamar's letter was going to settle everything anyway.
"So you don't want to go?" Adam asked the Sunday after Thanksgiving, waving the invitation as if that might make it more enticing. Jake was sitting on the couch in Adam's living room, flipping through the television channels with the remote.
"While going to the retirement party for your postal supervisor sounds like loads of fun, a bunch of us at work will be staying late Monday night. We're ordering takeout."
"You're a lousy date anyway."
Adam tossed the invitation on the coffee table and sat beside Jake.
It wasn't like anyone expected him to bring someone to these functions. He'd known about it for weeks. He'd also known Jake wouldn't want to go. So why was he staring at the invitation instead of watching the television?
Because of Josie. She was still avoiding him. He knew he had told her he liked the way things were, but that was before Wednesday night. She had somehow reached into him and seen exactly what he was trying to hide. He wasn't here because he wanted to settle down. He missed his old life. He missed it so much that sometimes his body would shudder, as if fighting with his mind to put him in motion again. He'd felt it Wednesday night, that pull, when he was looking down into Josie's face. It would have been so easy to kiss her, but he'd backed away instead. Was that the reason she wouldn't come to her door now? Was she disappointed in him?
"I think I'll ask Josie Serini to the party," he suddenly said.
Jake muted the television and turned to him.
"I like her."
Jake just stared at him, uncomprehending, as if Adam had suddenly started speaking Swahili.
Adam shook his head and got up and walked to the kitchen. After a moment, he heard Jake get up and follow him. Adam opened the fridge and handed Jake a beer, then took one for himself. Jake was quiet as he opened his bottle and took a long drink.
"Okay," he finally said. "Now that the shock is worn off..."
"What?"
"She's nice."
"Well, yes, I guess she is.
She sent me a card my first week at the DA's office, saying congratulations on my new job.
and she was the first person to send my mother flowers in the hospital when she had her hysterectomy. But you know what my mother said? I can't believe she sent me flowers. Yes, my nice little mother said that. Apparently, when Josie was a little girl, she kicked my mother in the shin when my mother saw her eating candy in the grocery store, and my mother told her she should probably pay for it first. She left a scar. Adam opened his bottle. Have you ever noticed her hair? Her hair? She has great hair. I guess so. And amazing skin. And that figure. Figure? Jake repeated. Come on, Adam. Adam was disappointed. Jake was usually more generous than this. What did she do to you? Out with it. Jake tried to look innocent. What do you mean? She apparently did something to everyone in this town. What did she do to you? Jake shuffled his feet for a while. She stole my piece of chocolate cake, he finally mumbled. Adam laughed. So naturally you're scarred for life. Well, I love chocolate cake. Adam had done stupid things as a kid. Most people did. But when he left for college, he never looked back. His parents were gone, so he didn't have any reason to keep in touch with anyone from his hometown in California. He couldn't imagine what it was like for Josie to be constantly reminded and judged by something she did when she was so young. The dynamic of her relationship with this town was fascinating. Adam suddenly set his beard down and grabbed the phone book. He left the kitchen, Jake watching him curiously. When he got to his room, he sat on the edge of his bed and looked up her number. He couldn't believe how nervous he actually was. It felt like being at the starting gate at a downhill competition. He used to feed on this feeling. And God help him, he still liked it. He couldn't forget it. He dialed, and their maid answered. Serini House. He cleared his throat. Could I speak with Josie, please? Olsie? No, Josie. I get. Who speak? This is Adam Boswell. Ah, the mail, she said, sounding pleased. Hold. I get. He hunched over and stared at the floor, taking deep breaths, his heart pumping heavily. A few minutes later, Josie came on the line. Hello? His head jerked up. Hi, Josie. It's Adam. Pause. Hi, Adam. I haven't seen you in a couple of days. Are you okay? Oh, yes, I'm fine, she said awkwardly. Thanks for calling. Wait, he said. Josie, you're backing off, and I don't know why. I'm hoping it's not because you've changed your mind. About what? About me. Silence. It's not my mind that needs changing. That made him smile. Listen, I'm 34 and I haven't done this in a long time, so forgive me my teenage boyness. What are you talking about? She asked. I'm asking you out on a date. Silence again. It's a retirement party on Monday night. It's short notice and not very exciting. Feel free to say no.
Of course I'll go out on a date with you, she said simply.
Of course. Like how could he have thought otherwise? Okay, so he didn't expect her to squeal. He just thought this might be met with a little more enthusiasm. Maybe she was in shock. Okay, then.
Okay, she said. I'll pick you up on Monday at 7 o'clock.
Oh, no. You already have something planned?
No, it's not that. I meant, don't pick me up here. I can meet you somewhere.
His heart rate had picked up again at the jolt of a near miss, like he could have fallen. I want to pick you up.
I can't let you do that. You'll be berated by my mother and possibly have a curse put on you by the maid.
My favorite things, he said.
Seriously, I can meet you somewhere.
Seriously, I want to pick you up, he insisted.
For a date, she said, as if to verify, to make sure she didn't have it wrong.
Yep.
He was smiling when he took the phone book back to the kitchen. God, he felt good. He'd made it to the bottom of the hill. A hell of a ride.
Look, I'm sorry I said that about Josie's figure, Jake said from the living room. I was out of line.
Yes, you were,
Adam picked up his beer from the kitchen counter and joined Jake on the couch.
Chloe is going to be over the moon about this. She's always wanted you to date more.
Adam knew Jake had been trying to call Chloe all weekend to find out more about her buying the house.
You still haven't been able to get in touch with her?
No, she's not answering the phone, Jake said, staring at the television.
I'm happy about you and Josie, too.
Thanks. Jake waited a couple of beats before he said,
I could really go for some chocolate cake.
Jake approached Chloe's shop the next day, Monday, her first day back at work after the holiday. After not being able to reach her by phone, he'd stopped just short of going to the apartment to see her. She was buying a house. She was slowly, surely moving away from him, and he didn't know how to stop her. It was just after lunch, a slow time for her, and she was sitting at one of the cafe tables reading a book titled The Complete Homeowner's Guide. Her hair was braided into one long plait down her back. She always wore it like that when they would go skiing or hiking, and sometimes she would stand in front of the bathroom mirror and sigh in the mornings, lifting her arms to braid it because she couldn't do anything else with it. He remembered how her breasts moved under her shirt when she braided it, how he would come up behind her at the sink and kiss her neck, cupping her breasts. Once they'd even made love that way, her arms lifted and in her hair, his hands on her breasts, watching each other in the mirror. Chloe took a deep breath, like there was something in the air she had picked up on. She looked up and saw him walking toward her. She immediately stood and hurried around to the other side of the counter. He counted his blessings that she didn't hide in the storeroom this time. He stopped a few feet from the counter when he saw she was backing into a corner.
You don't have to stand back.
She pointed to the coffee maker. The water? That surprised him, that she would still have the ability to sense his feelings, and that his feelings still had the ability to cause a passionate physical response in her.
Still?
It didn't stop the moment you said you cheated on me. This might be a little easier if it did. He took a moment to appreciate how precise that shot was. It wasn't a low blow, and it didn't go over his head. It hurt right where it was supposed to.
I tried calling you over the holiday.
I know. She didn't seem to know what to do with her hands. She tried clasping them in front of her, then crossing her arms over her chest. Finally, she stuffed them into her jeans pockets. I've been a little busy.
You were missed at my parents' Thanksgiving dinner.
I missed going, she said. How was it?
I really don't know. Adam and I got sent home early for getting into a snowball fight.
Chloe smiled slightly.
Did you hear Adam and Josie Serini were going out?
Josie called me today and told me. I'm happy for them.
I knew you would be. So, I heard you were buying the house on Summertime Road, he said,
knowing the segue was wrong, and the casual tone didn't feel right either.
Well, hell, none of this felt right. He had no idea what he was doing. He just wanted to be near her. It was getting harder and harder to stay away. This past month had been excruciating without her. He would lie awake in Adam's guest room and think about her. Every moment without conversation or distraction was filled with her. He had to let Chloe deal with this on her own terms. He knew that. What could he do, after all, when being sorry wasn't enough? But it went against his very nature not to fix this.
She paused, searching his face for something. I was at the right place at the right time.
I know how much you love it. I'm happy it's going to be yours.
He wanted to ask why. Why did she do it without him? He wanted to share the joy of it with her. Who better than Jake knew what buying that house meant to her?
Thank you, she said. What's going to happen, Chloe? Are you moving out?
Once I close on the house, I will. But if you want to come back to the apartment, I can find somewhere else to stay.
No, he said immediately. There was no way he was going to push her even farther away. Stay there. It's as much your place as it is mine.
She shook her head. No, it's not. That surprised him.
Did she buy the house because the apartment was an issue with her?
Chloe, I've never made you feel like it wasn't.
I know that.
Tell me what to do, he said. Tell me how to make this right, Chloe. I don't want to lose you, but I don't know how to make you stay.
What is her name? She asked softly.
He lowered his head. This was an impossible situation.
Was he going to tell her? Could he?
I tell you, and you'll forgive me?
He looked up and met her eyes.
Is that what you're saying?
She didn't answer. Jake walked around the counter toward her. She backed farther into the corner and put her hand out.
Don't, Jake.
He walked all the way up to her hand and pressed her palm against his chest under his suit jacket.
I tell you, and everything will be okay. Is that what you're saying?
He never thought he would compromise the Beasley case like this, but he never thought he could hurt like this either. He never thought he would be a man who cheated. When she tried to take her hand away, he grabbed it and held it there. Her elbow bent just slightly, her arm relaxing. It was like she was trying to let him closer, trying to let him in. Their bodies inched toward each other. He could feel his skin grow warm. Chloe's eyes began to dilate.
Jake, I...
But what she was going to say was lost, interrupted by a voice booming through the rotunda.
Jake!
Jake turned his head to see his father walking briskly toward the shop. Kyle Yardley reached the counter and said,
I need a word with you.
The spell broken, Chloe again tried to tug her hand out of his. Jake turned away from his father and met Chloe's eyes, trying to reestablish the connection.
Go away, Dad. I told you to stay away from her, Kyle said.
Jake felt his skin grow tight with anger. He couldn't believe his father just said that in front of Chloe. Chloe looked confused and slightly alarmed. She tugged harder at his hand.
This isn't the time, Jake said, still looking at Chloe, trying to get her to see him, to feel him, to know that everything was going to be all right. He was so close.
You're going to ruin everything. Chloe, I'm sorry, Kyle said.
Chloe looked at Kyle over Jake's shoulder. She knew something was going on.
Sorry for what?
Dad, get the hell out of here. Come with me, Kyle said.
Jake knew his father well enough to know that he wasn't going to leave. He let go of Chloe's hand and cupped her face.
We're not through, okay?
Her expression was flat now, and he could only guess what was going through her mind.
Jake!
Kyle said when Jake took too long. Jake reluctantly left her. When he passed by the coffee maker, he heard the water boiling inside, which gave him a small but precious bit of comfort. He crossed the rotunda, his father on his heels. When they got outside, the air was apple-cool, moist and crisp from the snow last week. Jake rounded on Kyle.
Stay out of this.
How can I stay out of it when you're messing everything up?
Kyle said. You don't know what you're doing. I told you to stay away from her. I told you to let her come to you. And I thought we agreed you would buy that house out from under her. If you had only told me you chickened out,